We are continuing on the subject of spiritual warfare. And we're just going to press in and believe God. You know, we've talked about the fact that in the area we need to be doing spiritual warfare. The enemy seeks to steal lives. There are so many lives that are being messed up by drugs, alcohol and many other things that are in the areas around us and right through our nation. And you know, we need people to know that Jesus Christ is the answer to these situations and these circumstances. You know, I thank God that we as a church have put a number of people into drug and alcohol rehabilitation and they have been set free. God has delivered them. They're married. They've got children. They've got jobs. Their lives have moved forward from a point of when I met them, they were on the road to death. Their next stop was a body bag. And you know, some people think, oh, you're really being hard. Well, let me tell you this. Having dealt with that sort of side of ministry for quite a number of years, the number of times I see people and then a few days or weeks later, they're no longer here. It's a body bag. And you know, we need to realize that Jesus is the answer to set captives free and to deliver and to heal people. And that's why we preach Jesus, because we know He is the answer. Whatever your question is, Jesus is the answer. You know, I believe that. And no matter what circumstance you're in, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to have to try and stand still a little bit longer than normal, as Ian is on camera today for probably the second time. He said Daniel's okay, but yeah, come on. I'll try and help Ian, but I don't know how long that'll last for. But praise God, I'm sure you'll keep up with me at some stage. And so, you know, one of our weapons, just a quick recap, one of our weapons of warfare are praise and worship, which we've been doing already. And it begins to clear the atmosphere, it begins to lighten the atmosphere, it begins to give us a breakthrough into situations and circumstances. It lifts us up out of our problems. Just because we're Christians, it doesn't mean that we don't have problems. We do. But what you do with your problems is another thing. And you know, the Bible says, cast all your problems, cast all your care upon Jesus, because He's the one who cares for you. So that's the best place, because you know, asses were made to bear burdens. And I'm not an ass, believe it or not. Okay? Just check the person next to you and see if they are. And if they're not, just tell them, don't carry the burden. Don't carry the burden. So often we think we have that responsibility that we need to be carrying somebody else's burden. Guess what? You don't have enough strength to carry your own burden. True? And so the best way is to cast all your care upon God, upon Jesus, because the Bible says He cares for you. No matter what situation you're in, God wants to be there with you and God wants to deliver you and set you free from that circumstance and that situation. And so we need to realize that in our praise and our worship, it lifts us up out of our circumstances. It changes our focus. Instead of focusing on the small thing that is actually, as we focus on it, the longer we focus on it, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like macro photography, isn't it? It's bigger, you know, in the camera it's bigger than what it really is. And that's what you've got to remember. This problem, it looks big, but actually it's much smaller. It's just because suddenly we begin to magnify it. And it's bigger than what it really is. It's only tiny. And it is amazing that when you focus on... I took a photograph of a clover flower. Has anybody looked closely at a clover flower? Very few of you will have. You see clover and most of us at the gardens think, oh, get the lawnmower out, cut it out, you know, get rid of them. Well, I decided to do a photograph of the flower of the clover. And that flower actually is a number of flowers on a stem. There are many little trumpets that are coming out. And believe it or not, I was doing macro photography, and whilst I was watching and looking at the flower and focusing in on it, I could see tiny, tiny, tiny insects crawling across it. I'm like, I never knew they were there. And you can focus, I mean, in macro photography you see some amazing things. But the thing is, you know, if you use macro viewing on your problems, you will see things that you don't want to see. You will see things and they become bigger and bigger, and suddenly you become this tiny person and the problem becomes, you know, massive. Who shrunk the kids, honey? Ever seen that one? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The problem becomes so big. To you older ones, land of the giants. See, I know where you go. You know. Glory to God. Others are looking at, what's he on about? Just watch some of the old TV, you know, they're in there somewhere. And that's what it is. Suddenly the problem becomes a giant to us. But as we begin to praise and we begin to worship God and we focus on God, the problems begin to diminish. And that's part of our spiritual warfare, that we use our praise and our worship. We use the Word of God. This is a weapon. This is not just historical records. These are not just stories. This is an arsenal of weaponry against the lies of the devil. You know, we need to quote this Word of God. We need to confess this Word of God, because this Word of God will set the captives free. It will bring release to you. There's power in this Word. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Even as we've broken bread together, it's been said that people have been healed during that time. Why? I don't know. Because God is God, and God can do what He wants when we allow Him into our lives. When we are welcoming Him into our presence, God can move in power. The Psalms, there are great Psalms that are there to sing. These were sung, they sang these songs in battle. They sang these songs to praise and give thanks to God. So these are weapons of praise and worship and joy. These are the things that we need to realize. And so often it tells us in Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through to 5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but are mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds. We're here to cast down strongholds. We're here to break things. We're here to see God moving in power. We're here to see captives set free. God wants to do a great work in our lives, and He wants to use you to do a great work for Him. Do you believe you can? Do you believe God has called you? Do you believe God has appointed you? When you get into this Bible, when you get into the Word of God, you'll see it for yourself. You'll see the power of God working in your life, setting captives free, and see God moving in a mighty way. You know, we see the story of Simon Peter, where he said to Jesus, he got that revelation, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, this revelation was the fact of who Jesus really was. It wasn't, you know, the Romans sort of said, oh, it's on Peter, the little rock, will build, that Jesus would build His church. No, His church is built on the revelation that Thou art the Christ, the Son, the Anointed One, the Son of God. That's what the church is built on. It's not built on a man. It is built on the Son of God. And we need to remember that. You know, Christ came to earth so that you and I would see what the Father looked like. He came to mirror the Father. When we looked at Jesus, we should see the Father. And you know, today, for the Church of Jesus Christ, when people look at you, they should see Jesus. That's gone quiet, hasn't it? That dropped, didn't it? That landed. I'll try that one again. When people see you, they should see Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you happy about that? You know, or do you think, oh, there's a bit more work to be done yet? Is that why it sort of went a bit flat, you know? Well, yeah, there is work to be done. But the fact that we're here, we're allowing God to do His work in our lives. The fact that we're here and standing together, we're allowing God to move in our lives and to work in our lives for His praise and His glory. Hallelujah. You know, we're to stop letting our minds control us. Our thinking gets us in a mess. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" It was just a thought that he planted. Just a seed thought. It'll be okay. Just do it. But God had said, "Of that tree, you must not eat." Of that tree. They could eat of the tree of life. God never said, "Don't eat of the tree of life." But he said, "Of that tree of good and evil, of the tree of knowledge, don't eat of that, because if you do, at that moment you will surely die." We want to just encourage you to look to God, look to the Word, and see that God will minister into your life, set you free. That God will speak to you and open your eyes to the Word of God. You know, our thoughts and our minds can really bring problems to us. And there's a scripture in the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through to 22. Simon the magician, he sees the disciples doing signs, wonders and miracles. He sees people being healed. And he thinks, "Wow, I can make some money if I get this power that they've got." And so he follows the disciples until that point where he says to them, "Give me this gift. How much will it cost?" And he's trying to buy the power of God. You can't do it. Jesus said, "Freely you receive, freely give." God has freely given to you and to me salvation. God has freely given to us eternal life. God has freely given to us healing. You know, it's there for you and for me. And so, to charge for it, and I do know some churches that do charge, I'm like, what? I've seen where ministers have said, "Come out to the front, bring a financial gift, and I will pray for you, and God will heal you, give you this, give you that." And I'm like, you are joking. I stay well away from those sort of people. Jesus gave freely. Freely He gave His life. Freely He gave everything for you and for me, that you and I might receive from God, and that what we have we give freely, so that the people around us find a touch from God. The people around us meet with God. The people around us meet with Jesus. And so you and I have to begin to control our minds, because the enemy, some of us might be susceptible to money. Some people have a lot of money, but they think they're poor. They have a poverty spirit about them. They can have millions and millions, and then they still think, "Oh, I'm poor. I don't have much. You know, I've got to keep getting more and more." It's a poverty spirit, and it controls them. It drives them, and it drives them, and drives them. And all they're doing is, and believe it or not, I know a millionaire that actually did that and was doing that. And then one day he met Jesus.
Amen.
And God set him free and delivered him. And now he's going the other way. He's giving it away. He's trying to help people as much as he can. And it's like, well, that's great, because that's God at work, you see. But you see, so often we can let something rule our lives. And it can be a spiritual battle that we have to face.
Some people it might be alcohol. Some people it might be drugs. Some people it might be photography. You never know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know. Some people it might be fast cars. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. I used to dream of having a Ferrari. Yeah. Just, you know, I've driven one or two, and I sort of picked the one I wanted, you know, but it's not turned up yet, so praise God, I'll drive a fast motorbike instead. That's probably the nearest I'm going to get. But yeah, you know, you can let things control you. You can let things bring you down and restrict you in one sense. But God wants you to realize that He came to set you free. And sometimes we have to battle with our own personal things. Yeah. And we have to do it dealing with the Word of God. But we have to make God come first in our lives. That has always been my principle for my life personally. God comes first. Yeah. The work of God comes first. And then everything else, grace comes next. Mm-hmm. And after grace, then it's the dog. You see, I know which side my bread's buttered. And who gets the meals ready in the house and who eats them, you know? So I know the pecking order, okay? So, you know, I know where to be. I know what to put first. Do you know that, Mike? Or do you do the cooking? Oh, you're still learning? Come, let me whisper in here and I'll come and chat with you about it. But yeah. No, you know, it's so important that we put God in His rightful place. And in doing so, we put God in His rightful place. Everything else comes into order. Everything else lines up because that is the plumb line. You know, if you want to get something straight, get a weight and a piece of string. As simple as that, a plumb line. You know, everyone says, oh, I need a spirit level, I need this. No, and you need a piece of string and a bit of weight on bottom, and gravity will make it hang plumb straight. See, God has put something there already. Yeah. The line is up. What He's put is this book. Good. The Word of God. Yeah. We line up with this. Yeah. You'll go through life. You'll go through life. There will be problems. There will be challenges to face. There will be things to deal with. Yeah. But you'll come out in victory.
Amen.
That's the way we come out in victory. You see, I read the end of the book. We win. Come on, we win. That's what it says. So, the Prince of Peace resides in our hearts and in our lives. If we have Jesus in our lives, then we can operate in a place of peace, a place of rest, a place of trusting God, knowing that the outcome will be right, knowing that God is in control. When I surrender all to Jesus, all to Him I freely give, then when I've done that surrendering and put Him first in my life, I know then everything's going to line up.
Absolutely.
I thank God that we've been married now almost 50 years. Well, we've been married 49. We're in our 50th. Glory to God. Never argue. Never argue. Yeah. Don't mind giving me that look. I'm not lying, neither. It's not worth it. When you love one another, it's not arguing. It's love. Love knows how to forgive wrongs. Love knows how to apologize. When we let God move in our lives, when we press into the Word of God and we begin to do spiritual warfare, you see, the enemy would try to come in and he would try to divide families.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing from the very point of beginning of time.
Yeah.
Dividing families. Yeah. Two brothers.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Brought division between them. Because one became jealous. Jealousy. It's totally against. God's not. God, I know the Bible says God is a jealous God, but He's jealous because He loves you with an everlasting love and He wants you to learn to love Him.
But there's a jealousy that brings us to a point of bitterness and resentment, hatred, malice comes in. I mean, even a simple thing like our camera club. There was some jealousy years back going on in there, and it's like, dear Lord, I just did not get into the politics. Not worth it. Changed my focus, you see. Didn't focus on it. And each and every one of us has to change our focus. Focus on Jesus. See up there? God is love. We put that up there. We made it. We didn't buy it. We made it. And we put it up there. Because I wanted people to walk through that doorway, and one of the first things they see, God is love. So many people have said so many other things about God. They use the name of Jesus to blaspheme. But I want people to see that God is love. God is not a vindictive God. God, you know, when people say, why has God let this terrible incident happen, you know, with this flooding and that? Well, let me tell you this. The majority of people today have said, God, we don't need you. We can handle it ourselves. Clear off. We don't need God, and yet when something goes wrong, we then invite God in and blame Him because He didn't do anything about it. And yet we told Him to leave. Politely. And so God said, okay. See, God gives us a free will. And we as believers need to take hold of our free will and surrender it totally to God. And we need to begin to press in. And we need to do that spiritual warfare. We need to push in. We need to see breakthrough. And I know some of you have just joined us in the last few months. And you have been battling some spiritual battles. But has God given you a breakthrough when you're focused on Him? When you focused on the Word of God, has God given you a breakthrough? When you started to praise God, has God given you a breakthrough?
Amen.
Did I hear a yes?
Yes?
Come on. I like people to talk to me, otherwise we've just got cardboard cutouts and I might as well go home. We're not on Zoom anymore or anything like that, you know. God for that. I'm all zoomed out. Well, that's true. Yeah, praise God for Zoom. Yeah, I mean, there's Ian and yourself and Michelle and one or two others that through Zoom you actually came to the Lord, you came to the church, and so, well, praise God for Zoom. But, you know, I don't enjoy it anymore, you know. I had to have a Zoom meeting the other day and it was like, okay, yeah, but I like face to face. I like to see people, you know. I'm a people person. And I enjoy that. Matthew chapter 15 says this. Verse 17. Though evil thoughts come out of the mouth, come from the heart. Souls of men are speaking evil. You see, the thoughts of you and I, they start in our heart. When we hear them, it's when it came out from our mouths. It all starts here. Have you noticed that? When you're going to do something, you start planning. I do. It all starts here. I'm going to say something to somebody. It starts here. Begin to prepare it, don't we? And then as we prepare it, we begin to then speak it out. And if we're not careful, we get to a place where our evil thoughts can just come out. Steve and I ride motorbikes. We're in a motorbike club. And we hear some thoughts, don't we, Steve, that just come out. And of course, then when they see that I'm there or Steve's there, oh, sorry, Bishop, didn't realise you were there. It's like, I just say, well, it's okay. I just say, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And they go, you what? I said, well, just think about it. And I leave it at that. for the time being. You see, it's what's inside. What's going on? What's going on? And when we allow the Word of God to come into us, it begins to wash us and to cleanse us. And you see, we need to come to a point where as the Word of God is washing us and cleansing us, it prepares us into that place of spiritual warfare so that we can begin to set captives free. We can begin to see the area being ministered to, where we can see lives being changed. There are lives, there are families that are broken all around us. And the answer is Jesus. The government, the council, the system, the social systems cannot fix it. But Jesus can. Jesus can. I know there are people even here struggling with drug addiction. But the more you trust God, the more you hand it over to God, the more God can set you free. But it's coming to that point of I surrender all to Him. All. Not some. Not a little bit. You can have this little bit now, Lord, but I need to keep this. The moment you keep that, that then says, the devil says, I can grab that. I can take all of that and I can pull you down with that. The devil only needs to be able to get one hook into you. And he can begin to pull you down. Jesus came to set us free.
Amen.
Jesus came to give the church power and authority. We as a church over the years have seen many people healed, delivered, set free. I mean, when we were in Romania, a little old lady there, 65 years old, being deaf all of her life, therefore she was basically dumb. And she came to Grace and I at the end of the last service and said, will you pray for me? Well, she couldn't speak. I don't speak Romanian, but we did sign. She did sign languages. She came up. Hey, anybody can understand that, can't they? Yeah. Who needs a language? And I went, okay, this is a big one, isn't it? And then I thought, hang on. I'm not here. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. So we just laid hands on this dear little old lady. Old lady. And 12 months later, we're back in Romania. And Danny said to us, oh, did we tell you about Hannah? I was like, no. And you still, you know, the thoughts come in, you start thinking the worst. Why? What's happened? I said, oh, well, a couple of days after you left, she came to my mum's house, and his mum always plays Christian radio. Hannah walked into the kitchen, which she'd done many times, and suddenly Hannah starts wandering around the kitchen. And finally she finds the radio, and she does this. And the pastor's wife says, Patutsa says, she spent a lot of years with her, helping her, so they can do a little bit of lip reading. That she says, what are you doing? And she looked at her and she said, I can hear it. Don't get excited. You know, I might do it for you in a minute. She said, I can hear it. She went out and bought herself a CD player so she could play Christian CDs. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Who am I? I'm Andrew. Who am I? I'm just somebody who loves Jesus. Who am I? I'm just somebody who trusts this word. What God said, He'll do. He has to do it. Because I can't. Because I have got nothing. He has it all. And it's with Him that it is done. And through Him. You know, our thoughts are powerful. Psalm 101 and verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's a challenge these days, isn't it? You know, you're at home watching TV, and the next thing you know, something comes up, even just on adverts. I mean, the adverts these days, you don't know when they break. You blink and you're like, hang on, we were just selling washing powder, now we're selling dog food or something, you know, and it's like, when did that happen? You know, in that blink of a moment, it changes. And then there are other things that come on that God does not agree with, and the Word of God stands against it and says it's not right. And so the Bible teaches us and says to us, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. What influences you is the big question. Some people can be influenced by what they see. Some are motivated by what they hear. I remember when I was in my 30s, there was a thing going around called backtracking. Do you remember that? No? It would be your age that were listening to it. There was a thing called backtracking. Anybody know what it means? You heard about it, mate? Oh, good. I'm glad there's at least somebody else here. Anyway, that's nearly as old as me that knows what I'm talking about. And basically what it was is that these rock groups would play music. In fact, we had something on Facebook that will confirm this just today. Grace showed me something. And what happens is that when they're playing a record, you hear the words and you understand them. But then this backtracking thing, subliminal messaging, that was the word used. And they used to do it in shops, they used to do it on cinemas. They used to put flashes on the time when they were putting adverts in cinema, and they'd put desert experience things, and that next thing you think, when it comes to break, oh, I'm cracking for the drink, you know. And what there was a certain group in particular that I'd actually found an LP of theirs that a friend of ours had got, or his brother had got, and we found a track and that I'd read about, and when you played it backwards, it said, Satan is God, bow down and worship him. Now that's what it said when you played it backwards. When you played it the proper way, it was just a load of gobbledygook. You see? But the mind that God has given to us is so powerful that it will sort out the rubbish and it will filter through and it will reprocess it till it gets to that point. So, if this record is played so many times, this is a form of actually subtle brainwashing. Now, some of you will have seen on Facebook, somebody sent us this thing that was written, and it was a sentence or a paragraph.
All the letters were jumbled up.
The first letter of the first word was the right, and the last letter of the first word was correct, but everything else in the middle was a jumble. But your brain just reads it. You think, wow, isn't that powerful? Absolutely amazing that it can do that, amazing things. So we can be, you know, we have to watch what we watch, for want of a better way of saying it, and what we listen to, because we have the ability. Don't underestimate the abilities that God has given to us. And you see, the devil would seek to use these against us. And this is where God says to us in Isaiah chapter 55 and right through to 6 and 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Right? So, when you've got a problem, take it to God.
Amen.
When you're desperate, take you to God. When there appears to be no answer at all, God's got the answer. I remember many years ago, I read a bit of a biography of the guy that does the list, the Otis list. And his company did not just make lifts. They made all sorts of electrical stuff. They were building a power station in America, and they're on a deadline. And this power station has a fault. Every time they switch it on, boom, it just goes out. It just will not continue to function. They tried everything. They'd taken things out, replaced things. And so they called him. He said, "I'm coming, I'm on a plane." They have a deadline. If they go over this deadline, they're going to begin to lose money. The penalties have to be paid. And he's on the plane, and he's just reading all the stuff that's been sent to him, and he's looking at it, and he just started to pray. And then God spoke to him and told him exactly what was wrong. It was a small electronic circuit. He got off the plane, they picked him up, they took him to the power station. He walked straight in, he says, "I know what's wrong." Took him to this cabinet, he said, "It's this in this cabinet." They said, "No, it can't be it." He said, "I'm telling you, it's this in this cabinet. Have we got a spare?" "Yeah, we have." They took it out, put the new one in. Boom. Amen. There was power.
Amen.
There was power. Yeah. Glory to God. See, God has the answer. We just need to ask the questions, then shut up and listen. Hallelujah. Some people just like to run the mouths.
Yeah.
That's why God gave you one mouth and two ears. So you listen more. Because God wants to speak to you. And then he wants to speak through you and to use you.
Yeah.
And spiritual warfare is about that you begin also to tune your ears, your spiritual ears, to listen to what God is saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you take that opportunity that comes towards you, that God brings before you, and you take that opportunity to share Jesus.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was in Doncaster, and a guy was walking down the high street in Doncaster. He saw me. He knew me. He'd seen me in church. I prayed for him a few years back. He'd had a bad back at that time. And he saw me walking down the street. And he suddenly stopped me. He said, "Oh, I'm glad I've met you. I don't go to Doncaster at all, if I can avoid it, you know. Shopping? What's that? You're joking, aren't you?" And anyway, I was there for some reason. And he stopped me. He said, "Oh, I'm glad to see you." I said, "Oh, why is that?" He said, "It's my back." He said, "I've injured it again." "Oh," I said, "well, have you?" "Yeah." He said, "Will you pray for me?" So I said, "Yeah, sure." So here we are in the middle of the high street, right? He stood. This is the pavement. See? He stood at the edge of the pavement. The road's here. I'm stood in front of him, and I started to pray for him. The power of God starts to come over him. And he's about to fall in the street. And I'm like, "Okay, you ain't falling down here." Because I prayed for him before, and before I even touched him, he hit the ground like a stone. Got up totally healed, didn't he? So I was like, "You ain't going down here, not in High Street, you know. Somebody think I shot him or something, you know, can you imagine?" I held him up. He said, a few minutes later, he said, "Oh, my pain's gone," he says. "Oh, praise God," and off he went. I've never seen him since, I don't know, you know. It don't matter, does it? I've only got to believe that he keeps going on with God. You see, it's all about Jesus. Spiritual warfare is all about Jesus. It's letting God move. It's letting God flow through you. It's letting the power and the word and the name of Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus flow through each and every one of us. Pulling down strongholds. It's about our prayer life. What we pray, how we pray, and why we pray. We pray in faith, believing God. We pray trusting God. We pray with an expectancy. You know, I know in the past, and some of you have been with some of these church leaders, "Lord, if it be thy will." And I used to mutter underneath my breath, "Read your Bible. See what it says in the book. Get to know what his will is And Jesus died, it says, for all my sicknesses. Amen. For all my diseases. He died for all my sins to set me free.
Amen.
All is all. Not some, a few, but everyone. Yeah. My faith has to arise.
Amen.
And let those enemies be scattered. I have to stand on the promise of God. You know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and verses 3 to 4, Daniel in the Old Testament, he was praying about a situation and he began to pray. And it says he set his face towards the Lord to make prayer requests and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He says, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant. We've been hearing for the last few weeks about God and his covenant towards us. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a covenant-working God. You know, it's not about what you've done, it's about what Jesus has done. It's about what Jesus did on the cross, because you and I could do nothing. You can't even pull yourself up. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his commandments and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. So God's there, he's keeping his commandments and he wants you to keep the commandment. What's the commandment God gave to us, Jesus gave to us? He said, well, he was asked, which is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. And your neighbour as yourself. And then later on he gave us another one. He says, love one another as I love you. What's the thing? What's the key word there? Oh, praise God. See, it's up there. Yeah. See, it's simple, isn't it? You got to keep it simple. Jesus did not come to minister to the intellect. He came to minister to those that were in desperate need. Those who had broken lives. Those who had even nothing. To set them free.
Yeah.
You know, some people might say, oh, church is for the middle classes now, isn't it?
No.
Not on your life. No. It's called get down and dirty.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And minister to those in the gutter. Those who have been broken and smashed by circumstances and situations. Tracy. Another one. Tracy here. One day, literally out of her mind, walking down the street singing, I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. One of our congregation met her going the other way and began to talk to her. I think he led you to Jesus there and then. She came to church. She's had bumps in the road. As we said last week, the doctor said she'll be dead in 2 days. We prayed for her. The consultant said when she'd recovered that she was a miracle, because every major organ in her body had begun to shut down. That's death.
Yeah.
And I laid hands on her and said, in the name of Jesus,
amen,
you will not die, but you shall live to give glory to God.
Covenant.
And that is God's covenant. That's God's promise.
And
oh yeah, you received it, you're healed. And how many years ago was that? Hallelujah. I chased an ambulance 18 years ago. I followed her to Derby. How far will you go for Jesus? How far will you go? In other words, Jesus talks about going the extra mile, giving them your coat. How far will you go? Lives being changed. I don't know what time I started, but I better finish, haven't I? I don't need a clock, I need just a diary, I just flick it over. And I'll finish with this story. I don't know if I told you this one the other week, because I've been juggling my notes as I've been going along, I've been adding to it, I've got another couple of pages already added, so we still haven't got anywhere near the end of it yet. There are princes of darkness that rule in areas. Alright, in the heavenly realm they rule over certain areas. Daniel, when he prayed, he was praying against, the angel told him he'd been hindered by spiritual forces, and Michael the archangel came to assist and bring a breakthrough. And so there was a missionary who was actually working on the border of Brazil and Uruguay. Have I told you this one? Nobody dare say yes. Nobody dare say no. I'm told you, have I? No. Okay. Well, there was this. I'll tell you, Julie. There was this missionary, and he was working on the border of Brazil and Uruguay, and he was in a town which actually sat right on the border. In fact, the main street was the border, and so he and some others from a church were on one side. And they were giving out gospel tracts to people. And on one side they were just taking these tracts and saying thank you and read, going away to read them. And so they would cross over and they'd go into the other country, as it were, and start to try and give these tracts out. And people wouldn't take them. And there was a lady coming towards him. He thought, I'll try this lady. So he went to this lady to give her this tract, and she wouldn't take it. She was quite, you know. So he thought, well, that's strange. So he stood there and watched. He looked down the street, and he watched this lady cross over back into the other country. So he thought, I'll follow her. So he went across, and when he got into the country, he offered her a tract. And she took it off him. She was polite and nice, said thank you very much, and took it off him and walked away. There you go. Something strange going on. This side, they take them. This side, they won't take them. Same people, crossing over from left to right. Oh, what's going on? So he began to talk with the Christians in this side that were taking them, and they said, yeah, we started to do spiritual warfare and we're praying against the ruling principalities and powers, and we're causing them to back up, and we're pushing them back with the word of God, and the churches have got together and they are praying and doing spiritual warfare, and we are breaking the atmosphere and we're taking ground for Jesus, you see. And so there was a line drawn. And you see, principalities and powers rule in certain sections. See, the devil is not everywhere. Just get, you know. I love it when, you know, people have got problems and say, oh, the devil's making me do it. The devil's not that good. He's not that strong. Right? He uses your thoughts to begin to control you and to manipulate you. And remember, the devil is not everywhere. God sent his Holy Spirit, who is throughout the world, everywhere, all at the same time. You see, Jesus had to die and rise again and go to his Father, because Jesus could not be everywhere. But then when he sent his Holy Spirit, who is everywhere, and then we become filled with his Holy Spirit, then the throne room of God is wired to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit networks out to you and to me. Fantastic computer system God's got. What about that, Tommy? That's a computer system. Never crashes. Never gets a bug. Never gets a virus. God is always there. And you know, you and I have to begin, like I said, to, like these people in that country, they were binding the strong man. They were taking authority over the strong man. And we need to begin to take authority over the strong man in this area, over Yorkshire, over England, and see God begin to break through in a new way.
Amen.
But we have to deal with that. We have to begin to prepare for that. And in these next coming weeks, we're going to spend some time. We're going to be having some evening sessions of praise and worship and prayer time where we're going to take authority over the strong man. Where we're going to come against principalities and powers. And don't get to that point. Oh, but what happens if? Greater is He, Jesus, that is in you than he that's in the world. They're just minions, demons. These are fallen angels with no power and authority. They just play on our minds. Then they only control a certain area. The second heaven. God is in the third heaven. And God is at work in you and me, and he's beginning to do some great work in us. So we're going to move forward towards that. We're going to begin to plan towards that. I just want to encourage you to stand on the word of God. I just want to encourage you to. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 25, 26, and he talks about binding the strong man. If Jesus said it, it must be done. If Jesus said it, it must be possible. If Jesus said it, it will be done. And we can be successful because Jesus said it. And you have to remember that. Jesus never lied. And so God is speaking through the word to us. And then we'll look, before we move into that next week, we'll look at the putting on the armour of God. And beginning to think like God. And beginning to... Yeah. Thank you, Grace. I appreciate you being here today, love. Praise God.